Thanks for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown, and I'm Vic Verschereau, and we're so glad today to have with us an individual who I've had the pleasure and the opportunity to meet over the past few weeks and months, and he's just an all-around great guy, but he has kind of a heavyweight job. He actually is the head baseball coach for the Michigan State Spartans, and his name is Jake Boss. Jake, welcome to our humble show.
Well, good morning, Vic, and thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad you could be with us, and as I think about you joining us here on the show, I happen to know that after visiting with you and working with you a little bit that this is a bit of your dream job to actually be the head coach of the Mighty Spartans. Is that something that you knew all along in your life you'd want to do?
Well, there's no question it's my dream job, Vic. I grew up in Lansing. I went to Lansing Everett High School, and I grew up in a passionate Michigan State family, I guess. And,
yeah.
My dad has a master's degree from here, and we had season tickets when I was kids to football, and plenty of basketball games and baseball games and things like that, hockey games, and just always kind of as a fan, growing up, thought how cool it would be to kind of be a part of. The athletic department and things like that at Michigan State. And then when I started coaching my at the collegiate level and my goals kind of changed a little bit, this became the dream job. And now to be able to be 13 years in here now at Michigan State, starting my 13th year, and to actually be a part of the athletic department and have my family, my kids, kind of grow up in the department and feel like you're a part of it, is something that's really special. And I think, I pinch myself every day that I come into the office that I get to be the head baseball coach at Michigan State.
You know, it's interesting, and I take you back to a home movie for me. Years ago, I was actually in an airport with the athletic director for Michigan State, and we were sitting there. It was during a time when they were before they had hired Mark D'Antonio, and I just said to him, gosh, I we were having a nice conversation. I what do I know about trying to hire great coaching leadership? But I just said, it just feels like we need somebody that bleeds green, somebody that's a real Spartan, not just somebody that's looking to stamp their resume with the Spartan S, but somebody that really bleeds green. And he kind of had an all-knowing smile, and it wasn't more than a few weeks later that Mark D'Antonio was announced, and of course that the rest is history, as they say. But it's nice to. It's nice to have you here amongst those folks that are bleeding green and doing some great things for Michigan State. You started in 2008, and you were the 16th head coach that was selected. And, of course, that's in 130-plus years of Spartan baseball history. So that's pretty impressive. When you took that role on, did you kind of have a big gulp and go, oh boy, here we are. I guess we've made it to the big leagues, right?
Well, yeah, I think, it's funny growing in my career and, as an assistant for a lot of different, really great coaches, and trying to pick as many brains as I could. I think, the one thing that just kept coming back to was, you're never really ready, I guess, until you sit in that chair. I got the head job at Eastern Michigan in 2007, and I remember that feeling, sitting back in my desk at my desk in my chair for the very first time and going, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah, right.
And, I think there was, 1 year at Eastern Michigan as a head coach and then getting a job here at Michigan State. Sure, I remember walking into the office for the first time and sitting down by myself and, finally realizing that, as an assistant, you make suggestions, and as the head coach, you make decisions. Mm. And certainly there was an awful lot of pressure, I think, that we all put on ourselves when you're in that position. And, I was no different.
Yeah, the buck kind of stops there. Well, one of the things that I think made your job and has lasted as long as it has is winning. And, I've got I was calculating and looking around. I think your winning percentage is over 500. And in all of those seasons and everything else, winning is kind of a key component. But it also helps you attract other players and maybe top recruits that might want to be a part of a program that's going somewhere. And that's part of the legend of when you go to talk to somebody. Do you want to be a Spartan? That's probably first and foremost. Do you want to have a great educational degree when you get done? But then also, do you want to have some fun and go win something, right?
Well, for sure, you know, and I think when we took over the program, we wanted to really try to bring some consistency back to the Spartan baseball program, and I feel good about where we're at and the job that my assistants especially have done. I mean, I think a lot of people will tell you, you know, you're only smart as the guys around you, and I've got great people that work for us as assistants in our program, and you know, those guys go out and pound the pavement, you know, on the recruiting trail and things like that, and so. You know, we've been able to get some great kids in here and really watch them develop and do great things in our program that has just kind of, you know, turned over year after year, more of a, you know, consistent, results, I guess, for our program. You know, we were fortunate to win the championship in 2011. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we've had some tough years in there as well. But, you know, in those years that maybe we weren't as successful, the one common thing, theme, I guess, is you know, the effort level of our team and the quality character in our kids, and yeah. That's something I'm pretty proud of, I guess.
You bet. Well, we're proud to have you as part of the program. We're proud to have you here on the Leadership Lowdown. Thanks for tuning in to the Michigan Business Network. This is Vic Verschuro, and we'll be right back with Jake Boss.
Now hiring? Capital Area Michigan Works can assist you with your hiring needs, all at no cost. From large-scale hiring assistance to locating the right candidate for a hard-to-fill position, Capital Area Michigan Works is your resource. We offer creative solutions from career fairs to on-the-job training grants and scholarship programs to make sure you have the best and brightest employees. Visit our website at www.camw.org to learn more about how we can assist your business with its hiring needs.
Thanks for tuning in to the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro here on the Michigan Business Network, and today's guest is Jake Boss. He's the head coach for Michigan State University, and taking time out here, Jake, and of course I was looking over the schedule, and somewhere around March, everything got canceled, didn't it?
It did. March 11th or March 12th, I think it was. We were ironically just getting ready to get on a bus to go to Indiana State in Terre Haute, Indiana for the weekend when we got the call that the season was over. So that was a tough day.
But, man, no doubt.
You know, our kids are resilient, and we're back practicing now and, you know, looking forward to next season.
Well, and that's really part of life. You have a number of young men that play in your program that aren't going to go to the majors. They might have some dreams like you and some other things, but that's the whole point, is that part of what you're coaching along the way is life's ups and downs for these young men with dreams and aspirations and are just playing a game they love. And that's kind of a fun thing for him. And you, at one time, were that young man headed for college and all kinds of dreams. Where did you choose to go to college?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Vic. I was set to go to Central Michigan, and I wasn't going to play baseball. You know, I was just going to get my degree, and you know, I think I was a very average high school player, you know, we played in the Capital Diamond Classic here in Lansing. We won in my junior year and then played in it again my senior year. And the head coach from Alma College was there and saw me play and called the next day. I actually talked to my dad that night after the game. We went up and visited 2 days later. And you know, they had an opportunity to, you know, they lost their first baseman the year before to graduation. They had an opportunity for me to come in and play right away. And so, you know, I jumped on it, and it happened pretty quick. And, you know, to be honest with you, I had no idea what I was getting into as far as the school is concerned, what kind of education I was going to get. And at the time, I really didn't care. I just wanted to play. And I got really fortunate that Alma's a great school with, you know, a tremendous liberal arts degree. One which I admittedly wasn't quite prepared for my freshman year, but we figured it out along the way,
just like
a lot of other people. I got a degree from Alma College and had a chance to play for 4 years for a man named Bill Klink, who was unfortunately passed away about a month ago from COVID. But, you know, that man was one of my heroes. And, you know, I just always thank him for the opportunity that he gave me, because I certainly wouldn't be where I am today without the opportunity that he did present me with.
So was he the head coach then over at Alma?
He was. He was the head coach there, and he was an institution there. You know, he played there. He had coached. He had coached there. He, you know, big mentor for me in my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I think about people like that, they probably have some principles and some key takeaways in your life. What were some of the ones, the things that really struck you and made you kind of into the gentleman that you are?
Oh, it's interesting, Vic, because I don't know that I took it for granted. Maybe I did, but you know, you certainly didn't. I didn't realize it until later, until I started my own coaching career. You know, and the first one was, you know, he worked. I mean, he worked extremely hard. You know, it's a Division III school, so there's not a whole lot of money there, and not enough money for an assistant, really. So he was kind of the guy. He did it all. And from mowing the field, and you know, I remember him mowing the outfield during batting practice one day. You know, but he, you know, from the recruiting part of it, he, you know, he was an innovative thinker. You know, he got us involved in the recruiting process as players at the time. So, you know, he would have us come in and make phone calls to recruits and take kids around campus and things of that nature, and really got us involved in the recruiting process, which certainly served me well down the road. You know, Coach was a worker, number one. And number two, you know, he wanted us to do things the right way. And, you know, he wasn't afraid to get on us, certainly when we were, screwing up or whatever. But the one moment I remember, I went back up to Alma to get my transcript because, you know, at the time I didn't want it faxed to me. And there was no email, clearly. So
right.
I went up there to get my transcript to apply for my first coaching job at the collegiate level. And I stopped by to see Coach, and you know, he said, "Hey, what are you doing here? Good to see you," and all that. And I explained to him what I was doing, and he really tried to steer me away from coaching at the collegiate level.
Oh my!
And you know, I appreciated it a little bit at the time. I appreciated it more maybe a couple weeks later, because, you know, the one thing he told me, he says, if you're going to have a family it's going to be difficult, and it's tough to have a family. You're not going to make any money for a long, long time. And he was right about all of it. you know, and he knew what the odds were. You know, he really cared about me, and he wasn't afraid to give me his honest opinion. And, he told me he'd support me. But he really did try to steer me away from it. And I appreciated that, to be honest with you, because, you know, again, he was a man that really cared about, you know, my well-being and where I was headed. He didn't want to see me make a poor decision and potentially, put myself in a situation where, you know, I'd be swimming upstream for a long, long time. And
well,
so,
sure. And I
you
think,
know, it worked out for me, but, you know, I appreciated that advice.
And I think the power of that is telling the truth and giving you honest feedback, which is really, really cool. Well, Jake, we have so much we're going to talk to you about today in terms of your career and some of the leadership experiences you've had along the way. So glad you're with us today. So glad people have tuned in to the Michigan Business Network here on the Leadership Lowdown. Thanks for listening in. We'll be right back.
DBIS.com. Click and order your office supplies online today, delivered free tomorrow. DBI offers a complete selection of office products, break room, janitorial supplies, and greener products with convenient 24/7 online ordering. Save time and money by ordering online. Visit DBIS.com to set up your account today. DBI does all things office, office supplies, furniture, and environments. DBIS.com.
Thanks for for listening in on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network, and I'm Vic Versereau here with the true pleasure for me to be visiting with Jake Boss. He's the head coach of the baseball team out at Michigan State University. And Jake, as we started talking about and learning a little bit about the decision of getting into coaching, and I just love that. I know that a lot of times people that you respect and that you're looking up to, and they say, don't do it, you're like, what goes on with that? So all of a sudden, you must have gotten your first coaching break, and you were off to the races, as they say. What did that feel like to take over? It wasn't the big times at the very beginning, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know, I worked out at Iowa Central Community College as an assistant coach for a guy named Rick Sandquist. And, you know, Rick has done a tremendous job with that program. He left the baseball program after a number of years and coached the softball program and then became athletic director. And you know, he's got the Midas touch. Everything he does, works out well. But it's because of his ability to sell a vision. Yeah. And really, that's what he did for me. I interviewed for that job over the phone Iowa Central is located in Fort Dodge, Iowa. I'd never been to Iowa before. I had no idea where Fort Dodge was. But I had a good teaching job. I had a lot of stability in the Lansing area, and I was the varsity baseball coach at the high school level, at the head coach at 23 years old. And I taught English and social studies and loved the baseball part of it, but I hated the classroom. I really had a hard time. Being in the classroom, it just wasn't a good fit for me. And, so if any of those kids that I taught, they're not kids anymore, but if any of those people that I taught at Weberville back in the mid-90s are listening, I apologize because I probably did you a disservice with your education.
Yeah, we got to be careful in today's world. They might sue you, you know. So
that's right. Yeah, you never know. But, I was really frustrated just with my entire day, was centered around that school bell ringing, and once school was over, we got to practice, and I really enjoyed it. So, I interviewed over the phone, like I said, and Rick was telling me about, this team, and these are the guys that we got coming in, and of course, I didn't know any of them, but he said, we're going to win a national championship here, and he kept going back to it and going back to it, and this is how we're going to do it. And in the last conversation that we had, he told me that the program really had been dropped the year before because they had too many ineligible players. And so Rick took over. This was his first year. Thought we could turn it around quickly. And I said, you know what? I'm young enough right now. And I was unattached at the time and really had, no bills other than a car payment. So I decided, I'll take the chance. And
so Jake,
moving out to Iowa was different for me. But there was really nothing to do in Fort Dodge, Iowa, at least when I was there. And it was a blessing because it really enabled me to really pour myself into the job.
Sure, mow the grass and get after the players, right? So
well, that's just it, really, really try to dedicate myself to that craft. And it certainly paid off. We had two really good teams the 2 years that I was out there, and that led to the next job. So
let me just stop you there because I you said something that caught my attention. You're going out to this struggling program. And this guy is selling the vision on being a national, winning a national championship. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously
at the junior college level, you can kind of turn it around quickly because, you have just freshmen and sophomores that are there. And so there's a lot more turnover when you recruit. But, still at the same time, there was no reputation for that program. And our first year there, we were conference champions. We won our regional and ended up playing in the Junior College World Series. And so
let's talk about that, Jake, because how do you get people to go, yeah, right, when you start talking about national championships and you've got really no history of that, no success, no reputation? What do you do? Do you have to stamp out the naysayers? Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was part of it. I think, Rick was excited to prove everybody wrong. He was excited to show everybody that this is possible and we are going to do this. And that was, that it was never, the language was never used, we can do this or, it is possible. It was always, this is going to happen. And, if you want to be a part of it, great. And if you don't, well, when we beat you, I'm not going to apologize, so. that was kind of his attitude, and it wasn't an arrogant, attitude in any way, shape, or form, but it was it was a belief that this was going to happen. We were going to get this done. And I'll tell you, you know, I'll never forget the last out of that Super Regional at Kirkwood College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Ground ball hit to our shortstop who stepped on second base, and, you know, we were going to the World Series. And, you know, that was something that, you know, standing there hugging Rick in the dugout, you know, and it was just that dream had become a reality, and it was so cool to be a part of.
Oh, man, I got goosebumps. That's so cool, Jake. And honestly, it's because somebody, and I mean somebody who didn't have the credentials behind them, said, wait a minute, we're doing this. And really the clarity of the vision of the dream is so powerful. It's something we can learn in business and our daily lives. That is just great stuff. Jake, it's worth the cost of admission today to the Michigan Business Network. It has been a wonderful start to what we're not even finished with here today. So glad you joined us, Jake. So glad you tuned into the Leadership Lowdown. This is Vic Verschuro, and we're going to be right back.
Sanair has an unwavering belief that all people deserve the opportunities provided by living in healthy communities. They've lived that mission for more than 25 years. Through lending, investments, and the creation of homes and jobs, Sanair has made a combined $7 billion impact on the communities they serve. You don't make that kind of broad impact without a skilled, diverse, and highly valued team. That's one of the reasons Sanair has been consistently named a top place to work by Detroit Free Press, a Crain's Detroit Cool Places to Work, and a best nonprofit to work for. Learn more at www.sanair.com.
This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Verschuro here on the Michigan Business Network. And, of course, with us today is Jake Boss. He's the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, and we're so glad that he's joined us today. And I just love that last story. You've got some success that finally happens. You're headed for the World Series there. But the key for me is that when you're in these smaller programs and you have success, all of a sudden you get noticed and your phone starts ringing. So you made some other moves that would eventually end up putting you in your dream job. Where did you go after the Iowa stint?
Yeah, so I spent 2 years in Iowa and then went to Eastern Michigan University as the graduate assistant for 1 year. I got my graduate degree and then kind of, you know, fell into the full-time coaching job there. So, you know, finally had benefits after a few years, but so it worked out well. I worked for a guy named Roger Coryell who passed away a couple years ago, unfortunately. But, you know, Roger was a great baseball mind, and I learned a lot about how to compete and recruit and things like that at the Division I level from Roger. And he really kind of gave me full autonomy, you know, with the position guys that I worked with. And, you know, he was the pitching coach as the head coach, and so I had basically everybody else, which, you know, again, you know, I learned how to work there, you know, as well. And, you know, from I was the only assistant, and so taking care of the field, going back to watching how my college coach did it, and, you know, which is a big job, and I was out at that field all day long getting it ready for practice, and then players would come out and you know, extra work and early work with them, and then staying late and things like that. My college coach was right. It was not easy. It was a long hours. And at the time, you know, I had just gotten married and we had baby number one on the way. So it was, you know, a lot of time away, which is, you know, which is hard, but, you know, my wife was very supportive and you know, she was really the reason that it worked. But, spent 7 years at Eastern Michigan as an assistant. And you know, I feel like, you know, we progressively got better and better and better when we were there. And then finally, you know, won a couple championships. And, you know, you win a couple championships, that kind of opens the door to, you know, something else. And
yes,
that's certainly what happened. I moved on to Michigan as an assistant from there.
Well, and so what I'd love to talk about is as you're dealing with these young men and you have these different levels of people that come in to the program, you always love it when you got that good-looking kid that is talented, Great work ethic, great mindset, good co-captain, team leader. But not all of them are like that, right?
No, that's very true. You know, and at Eastern Michigan, I mean, we were looking for the guy that maybe wasn't going to be, you know, the best player as a freshman. But, you know, after, you know, 2 or 3 years, then that would be a kid that we really had something that, and we felt like. And so that projectable guy from an athletic perspective, you know, we're looking for the, you know, taller, lankier guy that needs to put on maybe a little bit of weight. But, you know, from a, you know, from a personality standpoint, had to be a hard worker.
Yeah.
You know, had to be a tough kid, had to be a kid that, you know, was not really going to take no for an answer and you know, going to do anything and everything that he could to get it done. And so we were fortunate to, you know, to get a number of those guys. And, you know, a lot of times he just starts with one.
Yeah.
And you get the one kid committed and then, you know, the rest of them kind of fall into place. And, you know, that happened with us and we were fortunate to have a pretty good little run there.
Didn't you, I've always heard leadership in the locker room. Is that a thing? Can you talk about maybe teams that where you've seen that demonstrated and played out?
Well, no, for sure. You know, and I think that is extremely important. And, you know, Coach Izzo puts it so well. You know, he always says a player coach team is going to be better than a coach coach team. And, wow. And that's really true. I think, you know, when we had those good teams starting out at Eastern Michigan, when I first got there, we were not very good. And it slowly started to turn. And, you know, we had a number of kids in there that, you know, as freshmen were talented kids, but as juniors and seniors were real leaders. Yeah. And, you know, they were able to really kind of police, you know, the group more so than we probably could as coaches. And, you know, we sat back and let them do it. And, you know, they did an unbelievable job. I think we tried to coach them up a little bit on, you know, kind of give them a little bit of guidance on how to lead, you know, and what, you know, some of the things that team needed. But, you know, when you're able to turn that over to your team and let your seniors and your leaders handle it, then I think you got a chance to have something special. And, you know, the first kid I recruited, his name was Anthony Tomey. He, from Detroit Catholic Central, big right-handed pitcher who was a big personality. And, you know, now he's a very successful businessman in the Detroit area. And he was the guy that led the charge. And, you know, he was like the Pied Piper. Kids would follow him.
And you know who those people are right away, don't you?
Well, you can see it. You know, yeah, that's exactly right. And the reason they followed him is because he invested in them.
Yeah.
You know, he would go up to those freshmen and kind of put his arm around them and kind of walk them through what fall practice is going to be like. And, you know, he'd be the first guy on the top step of the dugout to high five somebody after a home run. And you know, he'd be the guy that, you know, when somebody made an error when he was pitching, he'd encourage him to try to make the next play. And that was he was just an infectious personality and a big reason that we had the successes that we did, not only when he was there, but after he had left.
Yeah. Well, we've got some more that we want to dig into that a little bit, Coach. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're glad you've tuned into the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Versaro. We're going to be right back with Jake Boss.
Most of us aren't looking around for accidents waiting to happen. That would be sort of odd. But when you have Accident Fund Workers' Compensation Insurance, that's exactly what they are doing. Accident Fund employees are the work-safe people. They take your safety very seriously because that's all they do. Workers' Compensation Insurance. That's why they're rated A excellent by AM Best. Go to accidentfund.com/worksafe and get the work-safe people. Accident Fund is a wholly owned subsidiary of Accident Fund Holdings Incorporated, the 10th largest workers' compensation insurer in the United States.
Welcome back to Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro. Today, taking notes with Jake Boss, the head coach for the baseball team over at Michigan State University. And, of course, Jake, you just got done telling me about Anthony Tomey, which is my kind of guy because I love the idea of being around people that can help a coach. And I see it when we talk about whether it's sales teams or whether it's people on our business floor. It's the it's the captain on the field that's so powerful. And you mentioned Tom Izzo's approach to that and how powerful teams that are self-coached like that by teammates. Let me ask you this. Is this something that you can develop and nurture, or is it like, yeah, you only get those guys if you can find them? Where are you at with that?
Well, I think a little bit of both, you know, Vic. I think it's something that, you know, certainly there's got to be a lot of it that is innate. At the same time, I think there are plenty of those people out there that have really never had the opportunity to lead and maybe are waiting for that chance. And so, you know, I think again, it's a little bit of both. I think what we tried to do with Anthony, just understanding the type of personality that he had at the time and still has, we tried to you know, invest in him a little bit so that he could invest into others. And I think you try to help him along the way, like, you know, just kind of understanding, you know, when the time would be to encourage somebody versus when the time would be to maybe, you know, maybe get into somebody a little bit and, you know, get a little bit more upset, and knowing the difference and timing and understanding, you know, timing and what this guy needs versus what that guy needs, and, you know, a freshman versus a senior, and just all the different dynamics of dealing with different personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, he was a guy that really, you know, again, he's very infectious. Everybody kind of flocked to him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he was a guy throwing the parties on Saturday nights, you know, but I don't know that for a fact, and I certainly didn't snoop around trying to find out as a coach.
But, Sergeant Schultz, you know, I know nothing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Coach,
but
let me...
at the same time, you know, yeah, he's, you know, he was a guy that, again, just invested into other people.
Yeah. Well, when you think about these kind of things, tell me about team dynamics, because you've got, when you get a guy like that, a lot of great issues are solved. But sometimes you get guys that just don't get along. I know a friend of mine who was actually recruited and given a contract right out of high school with the Cleveland Indians. And the first day in the locker room in this minor league outfit that he was at, he had a guy walk up to him and tell him, you know, who's in charge here, and just basically game on. All of a sudden, they're in a fist fight the very first day that he's a Cleveland Indian. And it's like, how does this work? So at any rate, I just wonder about, you know, what happens when you get some team dynamics that go afoul? Does the season become a wash? Do you have any techniques on how you fix that?
Well, it can, you know, become a wash if you let it go. And certainly I think that's when the lot of those face-to-face meetings, you know, take place. And what we tell our guys is, you know, we use the term clubhouse lawyers, and we can't have clubhouse lawyers. You know, we can't do it. And no offense to the lawyers around here, but,
sure.
You know, I can't have guys that are campaigning for playing time or campaigning to get this guy and that guy on his side. That creates a divided locker room. I think the communication has got to be with us as leaders, you know, and I think a lot of that starts in the locker room with the captains and the guys like Anthony that lead the team. But if it doesn't get fixed there, then I have to come in and kind of take over. And, you know, sometimes those end well, you know, and we get it resolved. Sometimes they don't end well. And, then we end up making some changes,
but I think
and whether that be leaving a kid home from a trip or, you know, and those are tough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, my responsibility is to the team as a whole. I am responsible for those 35 players that I have. But when I make a decision, it's with the team in mind and not any one individual.
Yeah. Well, I just want to break in here real quick because you said don't let it fester. And I think that is an interesting thing. You got to be careful. I'm an emotional guy, so sometimes I might overreact and jump and pounce too quickly. But you've got to blend that between being too quick and being just right, correct?
Well, that's true. You know, and I was a lot like that, Vic. I think when I started my career, I yelled a lot more. I was probably a lot more fiery at the beginning of my career. And, you know, kind of learning from watching, you know, other guys along the way that, you know, that's certainly one way to do it. But I don't know that it's the best fit for me. And so I've tried to take more of a calm approach, try to gather as much information as I can, and then make a decision, you know, on my time frame, and one that's an educated decision that, again, is best for, you know, what our team needs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think when you make an emotional decision, a lot of times it does work out, and a lot of times it is the right decision. But I think, you know, you're really kind of running the risk of making an uninformed decision.
Well, and also probably alienating somebody, and you know, if it gets too heated and that kind of thing. And so, gosh, Coach, I love the wisdom you're sharing today, and I'm so grateful for your time today. Thank you for tuning into the Michigan Business Network. This is the Leadership Lowdown. I'm Vic Versero with Jake Boss, and we'll be right back.
The James B. Henry Center for Executive Development at Michigan State University is the perfect place to host your next professional meeting, executive retreat, or educational event. With all-inclusive package pricing, pre-planned buffet menus, and professional audiovisual services and support, you won't find a better conference center in Lansing than the Henry Center at Michigan State University. Call us today at 517-353-4350 or find us on the web at msuhenrycenter.org.
Welcome back to Leadership Lowdown here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm with Jake Boss. He is the head coach for Michigan State Baseball. And so, Jake, as we're running out of time here and we've got just a few more minutes left together, I can't thank you enough. And I think the big takeaway for me is thinking about this leadership journey you've been on. Part of what happens is that your teams, as a coach, will make or break you, because it's all about being successful. And it seems to me that one of the biggest challenges is that every year you've got new faces. You've graduated some of your great ball players, ones that you've nurtured, loved, and cried with and celebrated with. And then you've got these brand new kids that are young, maybe not had a lot of experience away from home, and now you've got to get them into your program. What goes through your mind in going, how am I going to get this team, or what team building techniques will I use for this season?
Yeah, well, fortunately for us, Vic, you know, we play in the spring, but school starts in the fall, obviously. And so, you know, we've got a little bit of time to make that adjustment with our freshmen. You know, I think it's a lot for a freshman to come in here, first time for most of them away from home. You know, classes are much different. Their day is structured a lot differently than it has been in the past. They've got a lot more free time, and they have to understand how to budget that free time. You know, and a lot of them have come in as the most talented guy that they've on their teams that they've all played on. They've always been the best kids, and now they're not. And so there's a little bit of an emotional, you know, issue there too, I think, with a lot of guys in making those adjustments. And I think when, you know, again, I think when your older players are able to step up and really kind of take these young guys under their wing and just help them understand, you know, A, what the expectation is, and B, the understanding that this is going to be difficult, and you're not the only one that's gone through it, and you're not the only one that's ever going to go through it. You know, and this is what you do to, you know, this is kind of what you need to do to be successful. You know, I think that really helps, you know, but we try to, you know, I read a book by the, I can't remember the author. It's called Legacy, and it's about the New Zealand All Blacks rugby team. And the, you know, world-class rugby team. I'm not a big rugby fan, but, you know, they've won rugby World Cups, you know, more than not, apparently. Yeah. But, you know, they talk about their leadership on their team, and how the leaders, what they say, sweep the shed. And basically that their best players are the ones that clean up the locker room at the end of the day. Their best players are the one that get out the equipment for practice, and that's what their leadership does. And so those members of that team understand that there's not any one guy that's above any others. You know, the leaders aren't afraid to get in there and get dirty and get their hands dirty and do some of the, you know, what many might call some of the maybe the remedial type of labor. And I think that really helps. I think when a freshman comes in for us scared out of his mind and he's terrified, he's 18 years old and he's playing with guys that are 22 and 23 years old even sometimes, that's a big adjustment. But, you know, when he sees those older guys, you know, really pitching in and doing the things that, you know, anybody else would do, I think that that helps ease their mind a little bit, and I think will helps with their work ethic then as well.
Well, and you probably have ways to coach that, and I just love that because some of the great leaders we've talked to over the years on this show, we've talked about servant leadership, and I think servant leadership is a big thing because nothing is beneath you, and it's all about showing everybody that, you know, I can pitch in and help out along the way. I'll never forget there was a guy that was part of the Lansing Lugnuts. He was actually the general manager. We had him on the show. His name is Jeff Calhoun, and he is a great servant leader in my mind because for many reasons. But one day I'm there with a big group. We probably have 1,200 employees that were out there, and I look over and there Jeff is. He is the general manager, and he is basically emptying the trash can and working up a big gigantic sweat to try to make sure that our 1,200 picnic goers there at the ballpark were taken care of. And I think that's what you're talking about, is there's nothing that great team players won't do to help the team succeed.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, and Tony Dungy's written a number of books that speak to that same servant leadership as well. And I think that's just really, really important. You know, I've seen different guys do it, and I've seen, you know, different guys that don't lead that way. And, you know, I think it's easier to get somebody to follow you when they understand that, you know, you're not afraid to get in there and get dirty. I remember one of my first years at Michigan State, we were hosting a summer tournament. I was out, you know, dragging the field and fixing the field before the next game. And one of the parents in the stands was kind of giving me a hard time, like, you know, like, I can't believe you're out there dragging the field, because the head coach at, you know, X university, you know, wouldn't be doing that. And, yeah. You know, I just kind of joked around with him, but that meant a lot to me. That was a kind of an indirect compliment, I think. I don't think it was meant to be that.
No,
but,
he didn't know what he was doing, did he?
No, it's exactly right.
But you wore
really
it as a badge.
I appreciated him saying that because, you know, I felt like, you know, again, I feel very, very fortunate to be here at Michigan State. And I certainly don't feel like I'm any better than anybody else. And you know, when you're on a coaching staff, you know, with guys like Mel Tucker and Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo and things like that, it's easy to be the dumbest guy in the room because these guys are absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I don't get lost in the fact that I can certainly learn something from them every day.
Well, and anybody that knows you, Jake, knows what a great guy you are and how much you care about the community and how much you're giving back to Michigan State. We're so grateful, Jake. Couldn't be more sincere to have your time and to be with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. You have so much to offer, and we're just really glad you found your way to your dream job.
Well, my pleasure, Vic, and thanks for having me, and we're looking forward to a great 2021 season. So,
amen. Get this 2020 behind us.
That's right.
So
thanks
again for being with us. Thanks for tuning into the Michigan Business Network, and this is the Leadership Lowdown host, Vic Bergeron. We'll talk to you next time. Michigan.